You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to this Wednesday edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where we, of course, talk about the Indiana Pacers. As always, I'm one of the hosts of the show, Tony East, covering the Pacers for Forbes and the Fieldhouse and the West Indianapolis Community News. Basically, wherever you find your Pacers coverage, I will be there today. Big kind of-ish, smallish news dump day. So we'll run through it all. That probably won't take very long. And then we'll talk some Thunder ahead of tonight's game against Oklahoma City. The Pacers beat like 10 days ago. And then we will wrap up by looking at the Madden for the first time this year. We're looking around. I don't know how many people have looked around and seen what they've done so far, but there's been some Pacers guys with them, and Vic's been practicing with them, so a lot to get to. I guess we'll start there. That wasn't my intention, but I just led into that. We'll start with Vic practicing with the Mad Ants. They tweeted today a picture from practice featuring him and Edmund Sumner. So while the Pacers are on their road trip, it looks like they're using the Mad Ants to get their guys' time. Of note, first of all, in pictures, Edmund Sumner still has a brace on his right hand, so maybe he is still a bit away. I mean, he literally broke his hand, and they said he'd be reevaluated in 3 weeks. He's over a month now since his injury, so we'll see how long it goes before he returns. But I would guess brace on his hand, still hasn't practiced with the team, still a ways away. Oladipo, on the other hand, no brace on his knee, which is interesting. And yeah, he's just practicing with the man, which is good. Full court stuff going on there. And he actually, Pacers PR tweeted that he has media availability today when you're listening, or this Wednesday at 11:45 in the morning. No clue what that's about. I'm guessing they're just letting people know since it's not the typical Pacers practice media, whatever. But still noteworthy that they went out and said that. So maybe we'll get an update on his injury for the first time when that happens, which is going to be interesting. Number two on the to-do list, the injury things to burn through. Jakarr Sampson. Scott Agnes reporting he practiced or did some of practice. It doesn't say exactly, but anyway. Is recovering and did some practice stuff today in Oklahoma City. He's been out for forever. Hurt. He's been inactive every game since they played Orlando back on the 23rd. So that's like 11 or 12 days ago. He didn't play in Brooklyn 5 days before that. So really he's at approaching 3 weeks of inactivity and no health. So good to hear about him coming back. He's probably not in the rotation anymore. You know, it seems like Leaf's ahead of him. Even though Jakarr's played better, they're gonna play the young guy there. But if Leaf's not even playing, there's no way Jakarr's playing. But always nice to have good healthy bodies in practice. And Jakarr being back means they have another healthy body, which means they can send Alize Johnson to the G League more often should they so choose. You know, they don't need him as much in practice. He's behind Jakarr in the rotation. Might as well give him some reps with the Mad Ants, who we'll talk about later. Did well in their one game with Alize Johnson. Moving on, conference player of the month. Who cares? Is my first thing, because Carmelo Anthony just won conference player of the week, which is hilarious because he's way worse than Luka and Harden. Anyway, conference player of the month was announced. Luka ironically won conference player of the month for the West and Giannis in the East. How does that affect the Pacers? Not really at all. But Brogdon was a nominee, which is exciting. Just because, you know, good for him to get recognized for a meaningless award. But still, the league apparently has recognized that he had a great month and wanted to show him some love. If you take out that Rockets game where he played 8 minutes, he was basically like a 20 points, 9 assists guy for October, November. He was fantastic, well-deserving of a nominee of one of the best players in the conference over the month. Just kind of stupid how those awards go. I don't know. I think it's very dumb. I mean, remember when the Hawks, like, starting lineup or whatever was the player of the month? Good times. That might actually be... Oh, yes, one more thing of news to get to. Miles Turner, Nathan Brown of Indy Star, spoke with him after the Memphis game about his social media absence. So no one really thought he was going to be leaving the team or anything. It's just sometimes when players do weird stuff on social media, it's like predating trades or free agency signings. Didn't make any sense with Turner, but he did just delete all his tweets and Instagram posts. So some people were curious what was going on with that. Nathan Brown of the Indy Star was able to catch up with him in Memphis and asked him about it. And Miles said, quote, "It's not a big deal. It's just something I didn't want to. Well, I did it for myself, and I'll keep it at that." Pretty simple. Just seems like it was a distraction. There's been not even speculation. People have just said on Twitter, like opinioning, that maybe Brogdon, being the vet leader who didn't have social media to start the year, said something to the effect of, you know, hey, like this might be distracting you, get rid of it. Who knows? Either way, he does not need it anymore. Always good to get that out of your headspace. So just seems like something he didn't want in his life anymore. But good for him for coming out and talking about it. So, yeah, that's it for the big news dump that happened. Just a lot of little tiny stuff to keep your eyes on. You know, Jakar being back could affect Alizé. Oladipo's thing, who knows what he's going to say. Probably he'll just provide an injury update. But no brace is very interesting. And Sumner, of course, could be getting close as well. And, yeah, Turner spoke out. Brogdon played well. We all knew this stuff. But what we don't know is how tonight's game is going to go against the Thunder. So let's talk about it. So the Pacers just killed the Thunder not super long ago. I mean, 111-85 is just a joke of a score. And the Thunder play tough just about everybody. Me and Adam always talk about, when we preview weeks, the bars on Basketball Reference, which show how close games were. You know, all their losses are pretty close except for two. They got smoked by the Pacers, and they got smoked a few days ago by Portland, ironically, but they gave up 136. They just are in every game that they play except for this Pacers game. They just, that was one of the best Pacers performances combined with one of the worst Thunder performances of the season, and I just think the Pacers match up pretty well with this team, and it's not ridiculous to expect that to happen again. So on the Thunder front, since last time, we talked about some of this earlier in the week, Hamidi Diallo, their high-flying young wing, hyperextended his elbow. He'll be out for a while. That was announced on November 25th. The helm is basically over a month. No chance he's playing in this game. He's been okay for them. As we saw last time around, I believe he started his first time of the season, played 22 minutes, was okay. Both ends of the floor in the season, has some nice shooting percentages. He's just kind of a good role player. Second-round pick finding his way. They will miss him on the wing because they also don't have Andre Roberson. They haven't for nearly 2 years now. And it just got announced that he will be rehabbing in L.A. to try to get a change of scenery and see if that helps him, because apparently whatever he's doing for rehab is not working. So they just are low on wings without those two guys. Excuse me. I just tried to scoot forward. I completely banged into my desk. I just did it twice. So they kind of will end up playing some funky stuff, like Shea might get a little wing defense in him, and Darius Bazley's gonna play on the wing for them, and Terrence Ferguson, and those guys are all, you know, Shea's pretty good, but they're all just all young and not great at wing stuff, wing defense, spacing, all that. They're okay players. Like Abdel Nader plays on the wing for them a little. He's, you know, they're okay, but they're bench guys. They're not good starters, and that gives the Pacers a nice advantage, especially with Diallo out. T.J. Warren should have no trouble getting whatever shot he wants if he wants to have a big night. If they want T.J. Warren to be a distraction, then they can do that too. They just have a lot of options. You know, Nader was 2 of 9 in 19 minutes the first time these guys matched up. The Thunder were minus 11 with him out there. Bazley, they were minus 12 with him out there. He had 8 points in 22 minutes. He actually had 6 rebounds. He played okay. They started Diallo, obviously. We talked about that. So they're just low there, and this game should be no different to take advantage of that. If you look at Warren specifically, you know, he had 23 points on 14 shots. He just got whatever he wanted. He only had to take two threes to be that efficient. He was just making everything because they had no answers for him. So the question mark changes to me are, there's a few actually. So Turner didn't play last time these guys matched up, and him and versus Adams is one of those fun yin and yang kind of deals, because Turner can stretch out the floor and pull Adams from the rim, whereas on the other end, Turner gets owned by Adams inside. So who knows how they'll cross-match there. I'm guessing Adams will guard Sabonis, and they'll have Gallinari guard Turner, but we'll see. And on the flip side, I'm sure Turner will be on Adams just to have Turner on the basket, although they might put Sabonis on Adams and Turner on Gallo. I can see some value in that. Very interesting. Gallo is super good at everything, so it doesn't really matter who they put on him. He's just going to get his stuff. He only shot 8 times, but he only played 24 minutes the first time these two teams played. There was a lot of garbage time. Thunder didn't really need him to play 30, however many minutes. On the season, he's averaging about 30. So that difference was just garbage time. But, yeah, Turner will start. Last time it was Jakar Sampson, ironically, one of his only starts this year was last time these guys matched up. And I love Jakar, but the rest of the starters were all plus 20 or more. He was only a plus 6. He just does good stuff, but not the great stuff that some of these starters can do. So it'll be better with Turner Sabonis, obviously. And then Aaron Holiday started. Jeremy Lamb did not play. Now that, you know, we see that they're going with Chris Paul SGA, Lamb's got a height advantage on both those guys. He could play okay defense on SGA. That's great that you know, whoever they put SGA on and who they put on SGA will be interesting, but I think the size of Brogdon and Lamb being so much superior to SGA CP3 will be beneficial for the Pacers, and the Pacers bench will be better, and their bench played really well against the Thunder last time, but now they have better players. You know, Justin Holiday was 0-for-6 last time. Everybody else was fine. Those guys should all be better with their full unit. So injuries are in favor of the Pacers this time, and I think that will help them a lot. But they are on the road, which helps the Thunder a little bit. But they won by 26. And some other stuff, like Adams is usually a good rebounder, right? Well, that didn't really matter. The Pacers had 50 rebounds against the Thunder. The Thunder only had 40. They just smoked them on that end. They were able to get offensive rebounds. The Pacers took 94 shots. They had 11 offensive rebounds. They turned it over 14 times. It's fine, but like not a reckless amount. They just did a good job keeping their possessions alive and doing all that sort of stuff. And that's going to matter against a guy like Adams who can get the rebounds, against a guy like CP3 who's so good at the steals. Just keeping your possession count high, even if your efficiency is really high or really low, it doesn't matter. Just keeping your possession count high against a team that's kind of their strategy is to have a higher number of possessions than you. Should do well. So just take care of the ball. I think the Pacers should win this game. I mean, they have the talent advantage. Chris Paul's not Chris Paul anymore, as much as it pains me to say it, even though he's still really good. Gallo has been, honestly, possibly their best player this year. I mean, if you look at some of the impact stats, he has been their best player. So, it's just going to be a fun game. Be on the lookout for the Turner-Adams matchup. That's the one that I would circle as this could swing the game. You know, if Adams just completely punks him, then the Pacers could be in trouble. They'll lose out on some possessions. If Turner's hitting his outside shot, making Adams work, Pacers should have no problem in this one. Should be a fun one, though. Finally, a Pacers-Thunder game where the whole time isn't spent talking about the Paul George-Victor Oladipo trade. I'm sure there'll be some Sabonis stuff, but we're getting through it. There's so many connections between these two teams. It's ridiculous. Like Doug McDermott, Jeremy Lamb, Sabonis, Oladipo, those guys, all former Thundermen. I'm probably missing one. I feel like they just have so many guys who used to play for this team. I think that is it. And on the flip side, obviously, the Thunder don't have anybody anymore or any former Pacers after everything that's gone down. But, it should be fun. I think the Pacers are going to win a close one just on the road. But they have the talent to win this game. So that's why I think they win. Now I want to talk about the Mad Ants, where Victor Oladipo is. Speaking of talent, Victor Oladipo is very good. So let's check in on how the Mad Ants are doing this year. I hope enough of you stayed to hear this, because I'm sure some people are like, "Oh, the G League team. I don't want to listen to that." Blah blah blah. Yeah, well, whatever. The current Eastern Conference leader in the G League is not the Mad Ants, but it's the Wisconsin Herd. The segue will get to the Mad Ants. The Herd are the affiliate of the Bucks, who have Chris Middleton, who was a former Mad Ant, and that is why the G League matters. You find those kind of guys who can be good players down there in the G League. I think Mike Muscala was a Mad Ant at one point too. You know, like these guys matter. Them playing really good gets eyes on them. Teams might pick them up. Even the Pacers, you know, they often give a 10-day to one of those guys, though I don't know that they will do that this year. But I think it matters to put an eye on this team and what it does. Plus, it's basketball. It's fun. But the Mad Ants are not playing very well. They are 2-8. They are second to last in the Eastern Conference in the G League, with only the Nets being worse. The Long Island Nets have lost 8 straight games. And one of the Mad Ants wins was kind of cheese. They pulled down Alize Johnson from the Pacers to get him some reps. I don't remember who they played when he was there, but I know they won that game. And Alize, for his own right, was 12-for-18 from the field and had 15 free throw attempts. He made 11 of them, so he had 36 points. A modest 36 points. Also 14 rebounds and 7 assists and 2 steals. And he was plus 16. So, yeah, I think they would like to have him as much as possible if the Pacers will let them. And with Jakar healthy, that might be possible. So I would Expect to see more Alize with the Mad Ants and more wins for them as they get him. I don't know how much he was in their plans or not in their plans this year, but their post play has not been super good from the few games I've caught of them. So they have Stephman Hicks, they call him Steph Hicks, playing in the post slash kind of tweener forwardy stuff for them, and he's been pretty good. He's been a 14 points, 9 rebounds guy who can score pretty well, 46% shooting this year. He's a pretty good 3-point shooter as well. He's probably been the standout guy. If you'll remember Steph Hicks last year, he got a 10-day with the Pacers, though did not make any appearances. And I, for the life of me, cannot find photo evidence of his existence, though I have tried and tried and tried. Brian Bowen. Actually, let me zoom back before I talk about Bowen. Another reason to check in on the Mad Ants is the two-way guys, right? So Nazmi Trulong, we all know he literally was the savior for them in one of their games. He was a savior against the Bucks, and then he played and didn't make them completely wear out TJ McConnell. No, McConnell didn't play, Aaron Holiday in that game. And then he was a savior against the Nets, and that he played very well in a road win against a good team. And he's played in 5 games for Mad Ants. He's done a lot of switching back and forth between the teams, so he's only played in half the games. That's another reason for their bad record, by the way, is they've been missing some of these two-way guys. But, you know, he's in the half the games he's played, 21.6 points per game. That's insane. Shooting 47.8% from three on nearly 5 attempts per game. He's been really good. 7.4 assists, 7.6 rebounds, just nuts stats. Mi Trulong has been the best Mad Ants guard by a mile when he plays. He's in that tough position, right? He is like 26, 27 years old and a little too good for the G League and not quite good enough for the NBA. So it's hard for him to find a job that is the most suitable situation for him. But clearly he's got a leg up on these G League guys. He could probably be a third point guard for a team that needs some depth at the position at some point in the future. He played well against the Nets, but he's just too good for these G League games. So the more they have him down there getting reps, the better. And as the Pacers guards are now healthy, I think we'll see more of him there too, which will be good. He's been with them a lot more recently. And then Bowen started off real bad. I mean, the first 3 games, his shooting percentages were terrible. They are up, I say up, because that's how bad it was, to almost 40%, 38.8% shooting this year for him now. He's at 12 points and 8 rebounds per game. He's been okay, I guess. He's got to shoot the ball a little better, which, he's back in America. I don't know how much the G League compares to Australia. Maybe it's a big talent jump for him, though. I know there's some legit NBA guys there, but Australia, you know, clearly is a not awesome league. So I don't know how much that talent gap looks like, but maybe he's just accumulating to a new game. And CJ Wilcox, remember him? Preseason Pacers participant, though didn't get an appearance in a game. Shooting ridiculous, 46.3% on 6.7 threes per game. Down for this team. Other than that, not really anyone that I think deserves a ton of attention. You know, I thought Walt Lemon would be a standout at this point in time, right? They traded for his rights, and he was an all-star for the Mavs a few years ago. He's averaging 17.5 points a game, but he's shooting terribly, 37% from the field. Jakinen Gant was a preseason participant who did get court time for the Pacers. You know, he's been a 10 points per game guy. Shoots well inside the arc, not well outside the arc. He's there for his defense, and he's done a good job with that. And then Hashim Thabeet, what a cool story. Their first-round pick. Doesn't play very often. He's their backup center. Travon Thibodeau plays a bit at center, and obviously Steph Hicks gets some run there. But Thabeet's big thing is over 2 blocks per game, and he shoots 60% from the field. But he pretty much just dunks and blocks shots and runs really slow. He's very minorly effective, but he's 7'3", and that's what he does. So their record is bad, and that stinks because they have some talented guys, but they, you know, 2 of their talented guys had to come up to the Pacers to help out, and Alize can't go down there, I'm sure, as much as they wanted. So they've just had a rocky start, and I think they're better than their record, and they'll improve on that. But for now, that's what they are. So we'll see how that goes. I'm sure I'll check in on them in another 10 or 15 games or so. If Alize goes down there more often, there's more reason to talk about them. But that's all for today. Tonight's game should be fun against the Thunder. Chris Paul's a fun guy to watch. They're a pretty fun team to watch. SGA is a hoot too. Adam will recap that one, and then he'll be on the Friday show. So I am out for the week. I've had fun talking to you guys. I've also had a very stressful week at the real work thing, so it'll be nice to have some relaxing days. But of course, you can follow me on Twitter to interact with me, not here, at TEastNBA. And of course, this podcast is at Locked On Pacers. Sometimes it tweets during games and it tweets out all the shows, so you can keep up nice and easily. And news and mailbag go up there. Thank you guys for listening, and we will see you soon.